today's readings are in five parts, so I'm going to read, then Nick's going to speak, and then I'll come up and read again for the five times. So we're starting with Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and you can find that on page 1032, the calling of the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Good morning, everyone. Ooh, that was a bit louder than I thought. Wonderful. Thank you, Fiona. As Fiona said, we've got a number of readings this morning, so you may want to sort of follow those as we go through them all. But the good news is that I did have about eight readings, and I've managed to get it down to about five. So, brilliant. Throughout January and February, we're exploring what we believe as a church. In week one, we looked at, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then last week, week two, we looked at, we believe in Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, our Saviour and King. Now, if you missed either of these talks, I'm told they're available to listen to on the church website. But this morning, our theme is, we believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, who daily guides and helps us on our journey of faith. And I want to approach this through looking at the life of the disciple Peter, who was one of Jesus's inner circle. Now, here we've got a couple of stereotypical pictures of what we think Peter might have looked like. We've no idea. Maybe he's the rugged, handsome fisherman there on the bottom left of... We have a bit more of a saintly one in the middle, and the one on the right-hand side looks like he's just sat through a couple of my sermons. Anyway... It's up to you as to how you might imagine what Peter looked. But Peter's life's a fascinating one. It's a story of calling, of failure, of restoration, and of being empowered. Now, if King David in the Old Testament was described as a man after God's own heart, then for many of us, we might describe ourselves as people after Peter's own heart. I say that because maybe we identify with him in his desire to do and say the right thing. And yet at times, if we're honest, we lack faith. We make schoolboy, schoolgirl errors. We misunderstand situations. We sometimes act before thinking. But the amazing thing is that we are like Peter is this, that despite his checkered history as a disciple in the early days, we know this. He loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him. And at a time, Peter became a bold preacher, a faithful shepherd, and a founding leader of the early church. What was it that made that difference? Well, it wasn't Peter's natural abilities. He was just an everyday fisherman. It wasn't his personal strength, although if you go by the picture on the left-hand side, you might think, wow, there's someone who works out of the gym. But it wasn't either of those things. It was the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And as we reflect on Peter's journey this morning, we have an opportunity to reflect on our own journey of faith, wherever we may find ourselves on it this morning. Because we're all on a journey. We're all called by Christ. We are being shaped through our trials and our struggles. We are restored by his grace and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live lives of courage and of faith and of obedience. Now, I know a few of you out there are cricket fans, and obviously we've just had the recent Ashes series. We won't talk about that much. But during that series, the spotlight fell on a young English prodigy called Jacob Bethel. He's the one on the right-hand side, just in case you're wondering. The bleached hair, the sunblock. He has been touted as the next best thing, the top prospect. Former players and selectors are lauding his maturity and his temperament. The English management view him as a crucial part of the team's leadership group for the future. He is a remarkable talent. And yet, despite his apparent ability, the question that is being asked is this: is he ready? Is he ready? Does he need to gain more experience by being thrust into the spotlight, before being thrust into the spotlight, with all the expectations that go with that? Well, the same could be said of Peter. Is he ready? You see, the reading we've had from Luke 5 recounts that story of Jesus' first encounter with Peter, who at that time was a simple fisherman, as I've said. And on this particular occasion, he was tired, he was dispirited after a long and fruitless night of work. And when Jesus tells him to his nets again, we can imagine how Peter felt. And yet he reluctantly obeys. And that miraculous catch that follows leaves Peter to fall at Jesus' feet. We've just sung that, haven't we? We fall at your feet. And he exclaims, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." If you think about it, it's quite a strange response, isn't it? But you see, at this moment, Peter recognized his inadequacy in the presence of Jesus. Reminds me of when I went to theological college after I'd gone through the whole selection process for ordination training. And probably for the first year that I was there, if not longer, I thought that I didn't belong, that it was a mistake. Soon someone would realise, I'd get called to the principal's office and say, "Actually, Nick, can you just leave by the door?" Maybe there have been times when we have heard Jesus calling us to go somewhere or to serve in a particular role. And our response has been, "What, me? Are you sure? But I'm not even qualified." I think that must have been how Peter felt when Jesus called him. True story. Back in 1976, the then Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, on the left-hand side, intended to recommend Harry H. Corbett, the actor famous for playing Harold Steptoe in Steptoe and Son. He wanted to recommend him for an OBE for his services to drama. But somehow in the admin, the H was missed. Harry H. Corbett was missed. And the invitation was sent to Harry Corbett, the famous puppeteer who created Sooty and Sweet. Now, because protocol didn't allow an offer of an honour to be easily withdrawn, the issue was resolved by awarding an OBE to both men in the same honours list. Harry Corbett of Sooty fame was recognised for his charitable work and children's entertainment, while Harry H. Corbett received his OBE for drama. Why do I tell you this story? It is a great story, isn't it? It's a true story. It's simply this, in that Jesus does not make mistakes when he calls people. When he calls you and he calls me. Jesus said to Peter, that humble fisherman, as all Peter knew at that time was how to fish. He said this, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And this is the first thing that we learn about the transforming work of the Spirit, that God often calls us before we are ready. Peter wasn't polished or spiritually mature. He was impulsive. He was uncertain. But Jesus saw who Peter could be. Jesus sees who we can be. And the Holy Spirit begins his work in our lives the same way, by calling us into that relationship with Christ, more often than not before we're ready, before we think we're ready. The Spirit draws us, convicts us, and invites us into that journey of transformation. We do not wait until we feel competent enough. We come because God calls us. We're going to have our second reading, Fiona.
Reading is from Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, and it's on page 983 of the Church Bibles. Peter's Confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "You," he asked, "who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Well, the story of Peter continues, and as Peter followed Jesus, we begin to see both his passion and his weakness. He often was the first to speak, the first to act. And when Jesus asked his disciples here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, who they believed he was, Peter was the first to respond. The other disciples hadn't even drawn breath. And he boldly declares, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet if you read on in that passage, moments later, Peter rebuked Jesus for speaking about his suffering and death. And Jesus then responds to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." What a put down. Here's Peter in one moment declaring who he believes Jesus to be. But then Jesus recognizing that whilst Peter's confession was inspired, his understanding was incomplete. So at that time, the concept of him Jesus suffering and dying, Peter could not get his head around. He didn't see the bigger picture. And this tension reflects a life not yet fully shaped by the Spirit. Yes, Peter loved Jesus, but he still thought in human terms. And that's so easy to do, isn't it? At that time, Peter was seeking comfort over sacrifice. Maybe glory, but without the cross. I wonder how often are we like Peter in that respect? We believe, and yet we struggle. We believe, but sometimes we think of the easy way out. We follow Christ, yet at times we resist his ways. This is where the daily guidance of the Holy Spirit becomes essential. Because the Spirit teaches us not only who Jesus is, but how to think like him, how to love like him, how to live like him. And here's our second key thing, is that transformation is not instant. It is a process. Let's have our next reading. Thank you, Fiona.
The third reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62, and it's on page 1059 of the Bibles. Peter disowns Jesus. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
So we fast forward 3 years of Jesus's. Peter's greatest failure comes on the night of Jesus' arrest. Despite his bold promises earlier, even if I will not disown you, Peter denied Jesus three times. When the cock crowed, as we heard, Peter remembered Jesus' words and wept bitterly. This isn't the failure of a casual follower, but of a devoted disciple whose confidence was misplaced. Even at this stage, 3 years on after his calling, Peter still trusted in his own strength instead of God's sustaining grace. And yet this moment of brokenness becomes a turning point. Because here we have our third point. The Holy Spirit often works through our failures. Not to shame us, but to humble us and to prepare us for a deeper dependence on God. Peter's tears were not the end of the story. They became the soil in which transformation continued. Fiona.
Our fourth reading is John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, and it's on page 1090 of the Church Bibles. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep.
So after the resurrection, Jesus sought Peter out. And in John chapter 21, beside a fire, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Each question corresponding to one of Peter's denials. And with each response, Jesus restored Peter, not just fellowship, but to leadership. This restoration is essential. The Holy Spirit does not empower unresolved guilt. He works through hearts that have been forgiven, healed, and renewed by grace. You see, Jesus didn't minimize Peter's failure, rather he redeemed it. And here's our fourth point, is that transformation is rooted in love. The Spirit's work in our lives flows from our relationship with Christ. As we receive his forgiveness, just as Peter received forgiveness, the Spirit reshapes our identity, not as failures, but as faithful servants of God, transformed by love. Let's have our final reading.
Final reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 13, and it's on page 1095. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Thank you, Fiona. I really wanted all of Acts 2 read as well, but I thought that might be asking a little bit too much. But of course, the greatest change in Peter's life occurred at Pentecost, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples. The same Peter who once denied Jesus out of fear now stood before a crowd and boldly proclaimed the gospel. He spoke with clarity, authority, and conviction. And we read in Acts chapter 2 that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. This is the fisherman who caught nothing and reluctantly threw his net back overboard when Jesus asked him to 3 years earlier. And it's not Peter who brought salvation. It was the work of the Spirit, but working through Peter. What changed? He's the same man, but he's now filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms fear into courage, confusion into wisdom, weakness into power. Peter's no longer relying on himself. He's guided, counseled, helped, and strengthened by God's Spirit. And later, when Peter was arrested and questioned by the religious leaders, we heard in chapter 4 where they stand before these rulers and the elders. We're told that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit as he spoke. And the authorities were astonished by his boldness and recognized that he had been with Jesus. This is the evidence of transformation, a life shaped by the Spirit, pointing others to Jesus. But Peter's transformation didn't end at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit continued to guide him daily, correcting his prejudices, expanding his understanding, and leading him in God's calling on his life. If we had time, we'd look in Acts 10, where we read that Peter struggled with the idea that Gentiles could be included in God's family. But through a vision and the prompting of the Spirit, Peter learned that God shows no favoritism. The Spirit led him beyond his comfort zone. The Spirit reshaped his theology and practice. And this reminds us, our final point, that the Holy Spirit is not only for dramatic moments, but for daily decisions, for daily life. For he counsels us, helps us, challenges us, and leads us into greater faithfulness. The journey of faith is ongoing. And like Peter, we are continually being transformed, learning what it means to listen, to obey, and to trust him more. You see, this is why I think Peter's story is our story. We're called by grace. We're shaped through our struggles and trials. We're restored by love, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, who daily guides and helps us on our journey of faith. That same Spirit who transformed Peter is at work in us today as individuals and as a church. He guides us when we are uncertain. He counsels us when we are confused. He convicts us when we wander off and empowers us to live as witnesses for Christ. But my friends, transformation does not happen overnight. But as we pray for the daily guidance and help of the Holy Spirit, we are being changed step by step into the people that God has called us to be. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Peter. What an incredible witness to your transforming love, to the work of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that work of transformation that you began in our lives long ago. We thank you that we are not alone on that journey of faith. Whether we've been journeying for many years, for decades, or whether it's a matter of days or weeks or months, we thank you that your Spirit accompanies us. Lord, we come to you this morning with open hearts, asking that you might change us, that you might renew us. that you might live in us in the power of your Holy Spirit, making us more like Jesus day by day. For your glory's sake, we pray.